When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Okay, we have a real problem here.
Wake up! You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
Freaking amazing.
Alice at 97.3.
Today's movie is Time After Time, directed by Nicholas Meyer from 1979. This movie, I was in such a bad mood when I started watching this movie because I'd been working on stuff all day. Mm. I was really tired. I didn't eat dinner. I was so grumpy.
Still knew that you had to watch this movie. It was like hanging over your head.
And it was like 7:30 p.m. And I was,
This is your movie club and you waited until an hour after bedtime?
Yeah, exactly. So that's how I felt going into it. And was this the best movie I've ever seen? No. But when the movie was over, Susan and I were laughing. We were in such a good mood. We had such a fun time.
It's a movie about Jack the Ripper, everyone. Yes. Just so you know.
Just so you know, Jack the Ripper.
The Ripper. Yeah.
But we were cracking up at the special effects and how ridiculous, how crazy the main characters were acting . So basically what happens is H.G. Wells, famous science fiction writer, he has his famous dinner party where he tells his friends about his time machine invention. And one of his friends is actually Jack the Ripper, who terrorized women in London in 1888. They fudge the timeline a little bit. This takes place in 1893 or 1883, something like that. And so one of his friends is actually secretly Jack the Ripper and steals the time machine to get away and ends up in San Francisco, 1979, which H.G. Wells thought would be this beautiful utopia, because three generations from now, we will have free love and equality and blah, 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 blah. And of course, it's, the 70s. It's cool, but it's crazy. And lots of world events are going on.
And there have been world wars.
Yes.
Yes. Many wars. And he's like, what? There was war in the future?
World War II?
Right. He says World War III at one point. She's Vietnam.
Like, Vietnam. He's Vietnam. What's Israel? Anyway, so he has to follow him into 1979 to try and get him. But this guy's a lot quicker than him and he falls right into his trap. But luckily he meets a lovely lady who is so hot for his mustache.
Yeah.
That she will do anything that he wants, including believe that he's a time traveler, even though all he does is show her a newspaper from 3 days from now, which could have easily been faked, but whatever. I think my favorite part of this movie was how ridiculous that woman was.
Yes. The woman in question is Mary Steenburgen. So very young Mary Steenburgen plays this role of horniest bank teller of all time. Like the level of ridiculous from this weirdo from the past sitting down at her desk and her being like, here's my number. And weirdest accent, too. I'm like, what is she trying?
Was it little New York?
Yes, like a little
bit. It was awful.
But I didn't understand. I'm like, what exactly is she? She's like almost like Southern New York. Very strange. Like just the weirdest. I don't know what she was going for. But the fact that she was like, a horny girl in 1979 and was like, come to my place, I'm going to seduce you, and then now we're partners in crime.
And now when she gets into her apartment, her friend calls on the phone, her fellow bank teller friend, Carol, who we'll get to, and she's like asking her on the phone, how's it going? And she's like, the guy's standing right in the kitchen. She's like, I'm working on it, let me cook, and hangs up. It's hilarious.
Yeah, there's a lot of really, really dumb stuff. You know what? You're actually right. I've been thinking about this movie since I watched it over the weekend or Monday or whenever I watched it. And it is hilarious. Hilariously bad. Hilariously ridiculous.
But it kept me engaged the whole time. Wanted to watch where these cuckoo banana people went with the story and how ridiculous Amy would, like what she would fall for and what she would
Amy
go
was
with.
The Mary Steenburgen yes. character. It was actually really fun to see her.
She was a cutie.
She was cute. Right. My biggest problem with this movie was that they had access to the time machine the whole time. So what I really did feel like, listen, set it for the day before he murders the person in London.
Literally.
And then go and alert the police and say, I know who Jack the Ripper is. Please meet me at this place because he's going to murder a hooker. By the way, worst hooker ever. Like the least sexy hooker, the one at the very beginning.
Oh, when he was still in 1883?
Yes, yeah. Like, I guess the 1800s hookers, they just weren't as hot as today's hookers. I mean.
And she's English, so, you know, the teeth.
Right. There was that. There was a lot going on there.
But in that first opening scene when Jack the Ripper murders his first victim, they literally make a ripping sound, which I actually don't know that much about Jack the Ripper, just that they were, I don't think they were ever caught.
Yeah.
But they literally make the sound. It's like.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what is that supposed to be? A chainsaw? Like, what is he ripping?
Is he ripping like her petticoat?
Everywhere during this ripping.
I know. But he gets like one drop on his face as he kills people. Like, okay.
Susan and I were really hoping that sound effect would be happen for every murder, but just the one. Dang.
Also, at least take the time travel machine back to save the bank teller friend. Like, just go back a couple days. Let's just quickly wrap up all the loose ends. I really did feel like,
no,
wow,
they just get the heck out of there.
They're so selfish.
Like, you know what? This isn't our problem anymore.
All right, Vinny, you've been strangely silent. You must have thoughts.
I'm into it. I'm listening to you. I agree with a lot of the stuff that you guys had said. So, look, this movie, when I hit play on it, I found it. I realized that I am so spoiled by modern filmmaking. And so we can sit here. Now, I think this is a good exercise for anyone who sees films and loves film. There's so many flaws in this picture. It just in the story where you're just like, wait a minute. And, I mean, you already said it. Like, why didn't you just do this? Why? If you can just leave all that.
Suspend disbelief.
Just leave all that. I'm going to tell you some of the things I really loved about this movie.
Okay.
This movie is in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
It is here.
Oh, yeah. At
the city streets, the buildings, the woods, the trees, they're all over this area in that era.
Yep.
You're seeing it for real.
1979 San Francisco, captured.
Absolutely loved that. Me too. I couldn't get enough of it, and they kept giving us more.
Mm.
There they are on the marina. Like, I just shot after shot. Is clearly right here at that time.
About the rotating restaurant?
So that was one of the questions I had, and I hope that someone.
Right.
Because I don't.
Someone weigh in on
I
that.
Used to go out when Christina and I were first dating, we went out in the city all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Regularly.
Roam around.
We roamed all the time. It was what we did. I don't believe that still exists. I don't know of it, but there was a restaurant in the film. That is a spinning top, I guess, on top of a building. I don't know if it's still around,
it's
shocked.
Somewhere close to the bay, like maybe downtown somewhere.
Yeah, I think it was the Bay Bridge in the background.
Yes, it was the Bay Bridge.
So it was very downtown. Like,
so yeah. is that still there? And if not, what the hell was it? Because that looks, let's go to lunch there, you guys. That looks really fun.
It can't still be here. We would know about it.
We would definitely know about it.
I also loved, and I've done this with books as well. So first, love all the city shots. I couldn't get enough
of it.
It's
really cool.
Especially compared to when we watched Pacific Heights, which is one that I picked because it took place in San Francisco, and they didn't show anything. Just the establishing shot of the house. Nothing else was filmed here.
Yeah.
This movie was beautifully showing San Francisco.
They did it here.
Yeah.
It's like, there's Justin Herman Plaza. There's, like, all the way through the movie.
Right. Just the distinctive floor of the Embarcadero Center. It's incredible.
I loved that blue Honda Civic. I was like, oh my gosh, that is right out of, that was the most popular car for ever.
Right.
That car. Most of the ones of the kids that I knew as I was growing up, they were old, like they were old by then. That one was brand new.
Yeah.
But they were tan.
That's a solid color.
But Amy's a cutie. She had the little blue one.
Yeah, she did have the blue. I loved all the city cars. So as she's driving around in this little compact, most of them are 70s boats.
Like sedans, right? Like, you
big
know,
old Oldsmobiles and Cadillacs and Buicks. Exactly. So there's another, like, looking at an old film and just seeing that time as they're driving through the streets of San Francisco. Like, oh, so it's awesome. Cool. Okay. I love that they were on landlines. I love that he went to a phone booth and had a dime, not a quarter.
Yeah, olden days.
A dime. So some of the stuff in the movie, I just took it off the screen as it for what it was. That's a blue Honda Civic. That's a Mickey Mouse landline that they pick up. And he's holding it out going, hello, hello. Like, oh,
yeah,
geez.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to.
Even though he saw her use it, and he's supposed to be one of the smartest men of history, but yeah. Okay. There's a lot of things he does that are very dumb.
Well, he's playing that, you know, I mean, I don't know. There were definitely a lot of holes in the storyline. Yeah. But so all I want to say is I didn't love it. I didn't, but I loved the city shots. Like, time travel's cool. In this case, you're right. They should have bounced around a little more and done some cool stuff with it.
Because who could get enough of those special effects?
And I told you guys right away when I first saw this was last week, yeah. I think. The special effects appear to be a guy with a rainbow, like cellophane, and a flashlight.
Mm.
Yep.
There's your effect.
It's so good. It's just such early days of that stuff. I mean, Star Wars was already out, but even they were doing, like, you remember when you first saw Star Wars? And you could almost see the little box that was around the spaceship that they were moving through.
I never caught that on first watch, but sure.
Well, I don't know if you could see it in the movie theater. Maybe you couldn't. Maybe it wasn't until we got them on videotape. But it was of a time. Yes, there were some holes. But yes, I've been thinking about it the rest of the week and you know, couldn't wait to hear what you guys had to say about
what it. What I like about looking at old films, so I don't think it's a bad idea to go back, because certainly
the movie's time after time.
I remembered liking this movie, and then upon rewatch thinking, what was I like?
Do I just have no taste in movies? Or
but then that was closer to that time, and all this old stuff doesn't stand out the same when you're in that.
Right. It's almost 50 years old, that movie.
Yeah.
People are saying that the rotating restaurant has just reopened after being closed for 17 years, and it's above the Hyatt, which is the hotel that Jack the Ripper stays at.
Yes.
We got to go.
We got to go. What, find the address.
The spinning restaurant's called the Equinox.
Oh, the Equinox. Well.
No, I don't. Mm.
Speaking of the 70s, I really loved how much Jack the Ripper, as soon as he got there, he fell right into the culture with some sick outfits.
Yeah.
Especially one near the end of the movie when he's wearing denim pants and a denim vest and his gold pocket watch that plays. They never explain what that song is. It must be something related to his mom, but hanging out of his pocket. He looked kind of cool.
Yeah. So is that David Warner?
It is.
Because he is a recognizable guy who continued to have a career.
Yes, 100%. I was trying to figure out where I knew him from, and I think it was from a role he had in Titanic. Because I was looking at his IMDb, I'm like, I know this guy.
I mean, he's already like, it looks like he's in his 40s. In 1979. Mm-hmm. So I think we only know him in modern day as kind of an older dude.
Supposedly he was supposed to be 37. But I was, okay, sure.
Yeah. Well, people did it. You know, 50 wasn't what 50 is now. Or so I'm told. Once you hit 50, people start telling you that.
You know, actually, now that I think about it, I didn't see nearly as many smokers in that film as you usually would for a film from that era.
That's true.
I think the cop lights a grit at one point when he's got HG in the room he's grilling him. Mm-hmm. You're not leaving here till we get the truth. But normally you'd see a lot of ciggies.
I wonder if California was just cutting edge of we're getting rid of these cigarettes.
Oh.
Sounds like something we'd do here.
Yeah, doesn't it?
All right, I got a little trivia for you.
Okay.
Not a ton. So the daughter of the director is Nicholas Meyer, is the director. His daughter, Dylan Meyer, is married to Kristen Stewart.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah. Get out of here.
We just got married. Funny. Remember, we got those strange overview shots from their wedding.
That's really funny.
So that's fun.
That is fun.
This movie inspired the song by Cyndi Lauper from 1983, but not because she saw the movie, but because she was flipping through a TV guide looking for like, oh, what are some movie names that might make a good song title?
Oh, my God. Time after time. It's funny because, you know, the evil genius, Edwin Koo, who does a lot of like, Photoshop stuff for us.
Art.
Photoshop.
He's
art.
Our art
He's
guy.
He's an artist. He and I had a whole long conversation about how Cyndi Lauper's song, you know, came out 5 years later or whatever. And it was just it was so funny because I have been humming time after time because of the movie and because of the Cyndi Lauper song all week. That's so funny.
Yeah, total blast.
Yeah. Do you want to give it a rating?
What do we do, out of 5 or out of 10?
Let's do it out of 5.
You know, I really enjoyed myself. So I'm going to give
it for points.
Yes, I'm going to. And it was so fun and it was so beautiful. So I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a little high.
That's high. I'm going to give it a 2.5 because I'm very much on the fence as to whether I liked it or not. I feel like I'm just teetering.
Well,
but I've enjoyed this.
It's clear that you walked away from it not liking it.
Yes.
But then I
spent all week thinking about it.
That's the thing about art. If it gets inside you and you are still thinking about it later, then something is there.
I'm going to give it a 50% mark.
I will say, as far as time travel movies go, this would rank very low on the list. Nothing against H.G. Wells, but the mechanics of the time travel, I don't need them to be super scientific, but this made absolutely no sense. Like having 2 magical keys for the machine, I was like, which key does what again? I don't remember.
Yeah.
You know, right there at the end, when the end, like we're talking about the very end, when he pulls the key out and now he's gone to infinity. We're done here. I'm like, all of that. And that's all you foiled the worst criminal.
And he agreed to it. He nodded. Send me off into the void.
There were a lot
void.
Of convenient things that where the plot was rolling and then they just had to figure out, like they just fudged it.
Yeah.
Including why did the time machine move from London to San Francisco? It's almost like the time machine doesn't actually travel. You just, like, it's exists across time, and then if you get in the time machine, you can travel to another point where the time machine is, because he travels to where the time machine is being displayed in a museum.
Yes.
This is Time After Time, by the way, if you're just joining us. And but why? But then the time machine actually disappears.
You know what, though? You actually just made a good point about it being, because it was being displayed there, that's where he wound up, I guess.
Right.
He just picked a time in the future randomly.
But when you travel in the time machine, it leaves. It literally vanishes. And it only comes back if you don't have magic key number 1.
So how did H.G. Wells follow him to... Okay, let's not.
That's what I'm saying.
There's a lot of holes in the story. Right. That's my point.
Were there two
I'm trying
time
to
machines?
Make. So you really just got to enjoy it for the scenes. For some of the, like,
and for the silliness.
I enjoyed it for the silliness.
And look,
and the horniness.
I do think someone in there was trying to write a strong female character. They missed wildly.
Yeah.
Like,
you know what?
She's talking about women's libs. She's saying, I am a career person. I didn't want to marry.
I'm a career person.
And so you kind of go, okay, they're on the right track. This is, but the whole weird horniness.
Yeah.
And the, I'm going to bag me a man thing.
I think
thing
it was
like
a free, it was like trying to capture like the free love of the day and, you know, just like a sexual liberation as well as a women's
100%.
Lib.
They leaned really hard into that. And it's not too dissimilar from female characters that would get written today that are a little absurd. Like, she reminded me of the character in Lena Dunham's new show, Too Much, which I don't know if you guys have watched.
I haven't watched
that yet.
It's on Netflix. Mm. The main female character is ridiculous. And she kind of reminded me of that.
Mm. Is that the... Never mind. I'm not going to ask this question now.
That was Bob's Movie Club, baby.
Bob's Movie Club. You know what? Redeemed, because I really did feel like, Jesus, someone else has to pick the movies. But now I see that there's what we should do next. Just a suggestion. You know what you should do? Pick a time travel movie that you think is like the best one because you love this genre. I would like to see one that you are like, if this is the worst, show me the best. Think on that while we're on vacation. Blah, blah, blah.
Get up.
Wake up.
With Sarah and Vinny.
Legit. Yeah.
Alice at 97.3.